it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Goodish Girls. I'm Madison.
I'm Cass.
And Dallas. In spirit. She's watching over us. You gotta love technical difficulties, guys. But today, we are diving into another episode of The Goodish Book Club. These episodes, again, are a little more laid back than our usual deep dives as we discuss characters, location, open discussions, and, of course, the theories and lore. This episode, we will be covering Direbound by Sable Sorensen, and this will be our final part in our two-part series. And today we'll be covering chapters 30 to 58, and we will also be including the bonus chapter that is from Stark's POV. And this will contain spoilers for the entirety of book one. We have not started book two yet. So if you just finished book one, you're in the safe zone. If you haven't finished part, like chapter 29 of book one, save this video and come back later. But we're going to start diving into things now. So let's go.
What a doozy this ending was.
Listen, it's a sensitive subject for me.
I bet it is.
I have a terrible habit of big braining, and I didn't want my big brain to be right because usually I'm wrong. But it's fine.
I said you can't ever trust a blonde man.
Listen.
And here we are. Let's just start with the big one, okay?
Can I just say one note that I had really quick?
Go right ahead. Start the discussion.
Because, and then you can carry on. But I literally, the moment where I clocked that things were going to go down, it was chapter 51. You know the saying where it's like, I'm gonna hold your hand when I say this? So for chapter 51, I said, Lee, I'm gonna pull you by the hair when I say this, but I really need you to not be the bad guy.
Okay, so let's talk this through, right? Because they get together.
Yeah.
He outs at the ball, and he's like, I'm with her. She's mine, right? That already gave me the ick, I'm just going to say. I was already suspicious about this blonde man, though, because I've learned too many times. He goes and plays games with them. They go back to the room, and he's still being, like, perfectly nice, perfect guy, which is also a little sus. I'm like, there's no way that there's a nice guy for this long in a book, okay? She really dragged that out. And then she sneaks away, right? She finds her sister and all the other children of the castle, and she's like, oh my God, they in the castle, which I knew somehow the king had to be in on it. I just didn't think that they were going to be, like, under the castle. That part did shock me. I was like, they've been here the whole time?
I kind of clocked it after the final trial when everything went down. And then she was like, wait a minute, where are they taking Henry? And I clocked what happened with Henry, too. And I'm like,
yeah,
I need to stop
going out that
being
door.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I figured there had to be something under it because she talks about the stuff being in like the gutter or whatever.
Yeah,
with seeing. And I'm like, what?
The fact that you didn't just like yoink it out the first time right. you saw it instead of just leaving it there.
Right? But anyways, I digress. She makes questionable decisions. I'm not the biggest. I like Marin, but there are still quite a few things that I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you like this?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so then she comes back and this dumb ass bitch goes, I know who will help me. And Anasa is even like, keep this to yourself. You can't tell anybody about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this bitch still tells him. And as soon as she did, I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But then she fakes us out, right? She's like, oh, tomorrow we will work together. But as soon as he said, you have to kill him, my brain was like, oh, this motherfucker's got her.
Yeah.
And she's dumb enough to do it.
Yeah. It was giving me a very Cruel Prince vibes because something kind of similar happens.
Mm.
It's so good.
I still haven't read that. It's on my TBR. I'm just not there yet.
Well, when you do, and if you need someone to yap with, I'll be there.
In the words
of Michael Jackson, I'll be there.
I keep finding other books to read instead.
That's valid.
But, yeah. And then, of course, he turns his back on us. And he's a bad guy. And he wanted the throne from his dad. But on top of that, you were right. And he was
Hans
a vampire.
Is the bad guy. Hans is the bad guy and he's a vampire.
I know. Dallas says, this is a write-in from Miss Dallas in her thoughts. I'm actually going a lot nicer on you than I was going to when we originally were going to record, because this is like a rescheduled recording. And when we were going to record, I was like deep in the feels of this, of that I was fucking right and that I hate him with all of my heart. But I'm kind of out of that right now. So I'm actually being a lot nicer than I was going to probably be and rubbing it in your face. But Dallas says, we need to give Mads a break because I also did want our blonde friend and now I can't and I'm mad. It's 2026. I should be able to trust a blonde man. This is insane. And again, I'm going to refer you to the book Light Lark. And the series, because Oro's the only blonde man that you can trust.
And I haven't met him yet, but allegedly also Aaron Warner. I've been told I need to meet that man.
What book is that?
The Shatter Me series.
Oh, I haven't read that either.
I haven't either, but my friend is like, you need to do it. I blame Nevessa Allen because I had just finished Game On, who was blonde man. So I'm like, well, if that blonde man's okay, this blonde man's got to be okay. But I think the thing is that a blonde man isn't safe unless he has a tragic backstory. I feel like his backstory, we didn't know much about it. If it was tragic, I'm like, oh, you're safe.
Yeah, but we also find out that he's kind of like a little possessed or something by like the old. I shouldn't say possessed, but like, I mean, kind of by like the OG Siphon. So that probably plays into it. But yeah, Oro and Lightlark has a very tragic backstory. So that's probably why he's still good guy.
Yeah.
Not bad guy. So.
But with the point of you saying that Killian is like, he's got something going on. Reading like the end, I'm like, at this point, someone just put me in a corner and don't talk to me because.
It was like she just kept smacking you in the face with shit. Like I just kept gasping.
Also, I kept on getting pranked because even after she woke up in the dungeon and he's like, everything you saw and you said, like, that's all in your head. You're losing your mind like your mom. I'm like, oh, no, she is losing her mind like her mom. And then Anas is like, don't listen to him. I'm like, I'm going to be in the corner.
Girl, after everything you just went through, you still believe that maybe she was losing her mind. And he was like, ah, sweet baby girl. It's okay.
Hey, but we learned from Stark's POV that that is their legacy, so I'm like, but whenever Anas was like, yeah, don't listen to him, and then we have like that little personality switch and Marin's like, who are you? And then we get the introduction. I was spoilers for Throne of Glass, but I was crossing my fingers that we would have like a Valak situation. I'm like, oh, this isn't Killian. Like, it's going to be fine, you guys. And then he was still crap afterwards. I'm like, oh, it's you're just not safe in general.
You said that Stark brings up that like that is their legacy to lose their mind. Mm-hmm. But they're only losing their mind because they don't know, right, that they are the heir.
Not gonna lie, I kind of zoned out during his POV. Hold on, Your Honor. Hold on, I have a point. It's because the entire book is first person, and then Stark's POV, it's third person. And I'm like, huh? Yeah. Gabe, can I get a check over here? Are we for sure doing third person?
I had to pause. I remember it started and I was like, hold on, who's talking? And then I had to go back and I was like, okay. And it starts from the beginning of the book. Like, we mm-hmm. go through everything again.
And then we read
it was kind of a long, but they only lose their mind because they don't know who they truly are. So that's like the side effect of them not knowing the truth. But now that she knows it, she should stop losing her mind.
Interesting.
In theory.
True.
I think it's like it has to do with her knowing and then her being able to reclaim the throne. But yeah, he did say that. Like, oh, her mom was losing her mind. That was going to happen anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But it should stop now that she knows. And it should stop for Sayla, even though
Sayla's
got another thing coming.
Listen, that broke me. That was the final straw where I'm like, Killian, don't talk to me. Don't come by my house. I was heartbroken. Okay. I was big mad at work. I was like, no one talked to me. I'm cranky now. You don't know why, but like, you guys are doing your thing and I'm mad.
Book is like the epitome. If you love a good plot twist, if you love a good like
betrayal.
Yeah. Or like when they blindside you. Like, if you just want blindside after blindside after blindside,
this is
read Direbound, because the last like five chapters, it's just like one right after another. It's like when you try to get up in the ocean after you fell down in like 2 feet of water, and then you almost get to stand up, but then the wave hits you and then you're back down again and you're like gulping for air trying to stand up. Yeah, that's what reading the last few chapters of Direbound is like.
Which now that makes me super nervous for Fearybound, because I'm like, if this was book one, I'm going to get absolutely freaking wrecked.
I know. And book two just came out. Yeah. So then how long are we going to have to wait for book three if she leaves us like this again?
I don't know.
All I think it's a trilogy.
I'm going to need therapy depending on how book two ends.
Yeah. This book is wild. Dallas said, it makes sense that she is the heir to the throne, to be honest, but the fact that she has to pretend to be in this marriage is insane, and the fact that he believes her is also insane. It's not pretend to say. She's trapped in it because of
the band.
The blood crystal. Yeah. So I don't think she really has to pretend. I think she's just stuck, and now she has to figure out how to get that off.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but he doesn't know about bonds, remember? Because that's how Anasa can. Yeah. They don't really understand like bonded mates. So that's how she's able to get Stark and what's his name there? Kato?
Kratos.
Kratos. I was like, that's not right. That's Hunger Games.
I know. But hey, speaking of Hunger Games, I had a note.
Oh, boy.
So because there were a few times, even towards the end, where I was getting a little peeved at Meryn, and it was whenever Jonah made the threat that someone was gonna die, and I'm like,
just kill him.
I'm like, did you not pick up that if it wasn't you, it was gonna be Henry? Like, I beg your finest pardon?
No, because she's dumb.
There's another part, it was chapter 52, where they're, oh, she's talking with Killian. It's right before she kills the king and whatnot. And they're like going over the plan. And she says, do you think this will work? And I'm like, girl, that's your job. That's literally your station. What do you mean? Why are you asking him if it's going to work? He should know. And you're an alpha at this point.
Yeah. You should be in a position where you should call the shots and be confident in them.
And I don't know if it's just me, but the way that I mentally view like how their mind should work in Strategos is, I don't know if you ever played or watched a gameplay of this video game called Detroit Become Human.
No.
It's really, really cool. It's essentially like watching a movie whenever you play it. But there's, you're essentially playing as these robots that look really human-like and they become human, hence the name. But there's like certain scenes because they're robots where it's like you got to choose a path that you want to play to get your goal across. And it will literally like show you the options and it will play through like, oh, if you choose this option, this is your accuracy of success and this is what happens. And that to me is how I thought their brain would work.
Right.
I don't think it does, because I'm like, you should know these things. Why isn't it not clocking to you? And why are you not standing on business?
I think, okay, so like from how it was explained, I feel like Strategos is more like they can see all inputs from every person.
Everyone. And it's kind of just like statistic wise.
Yeah, because she would like be like, oh, okay, like when I clock in on these people, this is what they're saying right now. Okay, well, on this side, I'm seeing this. So sometimes I feel like she's just being able to almost like, quote unquote, see a snapshot through their eyes of what their area looks like. Mm-hmm. And then she makes decisions based off of that. It's almost like a mapping. Like it's being mapped out in her brain and then she makes decisions based off of what the whole battlefield map looks like.
Yeah, and that's kind of like how the Detroit Become Human thing plays out too. Towards like she can see what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
After that, we learn about Sayla being under the castle. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the final trial. And I literally said, don't you dare Primrose Everdeen, my girl Sayla. Because I thought that they were going to bring up the children and the king be stupid and evil and be like, okay, next task. I don't know.
No, could you imagine?
Yeah, after everything that played out with this book, a little bit.
But I feel like there's a greater purpose to the children. Like, obviously, they're turning the children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not, and at first I was like, oh, they're using them for food or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they're not. They're turning them. So I wonder if it has to do with the fact, so when she kind of has her, like, playback where she learns everything, like, the memories come to her, we find out that when they took over the throne, they essentially erased all history prior to that, and they said nothing existed before them taking the throne, creating, right, the continent, whatever, and then this is how it's always been. And he rewrote history how he wanted it. So I'm wondering if they have to change the young kids to continue their line, first off, to keep the Siphons, even though they live a long time, just like the direwolves. But also that they can rewrite history by having more younger people under their control. Like continuing to keep history how it is.
Yeah.
Because
that makes sense.
Nobody knows anything about the direwolves and that they literally lived there before and were in charge forever.
But we might know. We might learn more now that Meryn knows.
Right. Now that she has those memories, I mean, I would hope that when they take over, more people are going to find out.
I'm interested to see how it plays out because the way it ended, I hated
it a lot.
But also, there was another note I had. I forgot exactly what it said, but essentially, once Meryn Rapunzel the whole thing. She's like, I'm the lost princess, aren't I? And Stark was like, yes, I'm here. You use me, my queen. And I was like, okay, kid, calm down. Coming on a little strong.
But that's his.
I know, but I was just like, hey, whoa.
I mean, we do find out a lot through his backstory as well.
Yeah.
That, like, that's literally his family line's job.
Because,
okay, you know what's crazy? Actually, I just made this connection while we're sitting here talking about it. But they were talking about all the nepo babiness of him being like, your mother did this, and now he just gets to walk in, and now he's in charge too. Mm-hmm. And everybody's so mad about it. When that has secretly been his family's job this whole time, is to find the lost princess and protect the royal line. Like, no wonder they're nepo babying him.
Yeah.
I still can't think of that question that I had. Oh my gosh, this is going to make me so mad, because as soon as we get done recording, and I'll probably start Fury Bound, and then it'll like bring in that question, and I'll be like, oh, that's the question I had that I can't remember. Another thing I just thought of. That plot twist. I guess it wasn't really a plot twist. The unexpectedness, though, of Stark going to talk to Igor's wife, mm-hmm. and being like, what have they been up to? How are they doing? And she not liking them?
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? I didn't see that coming. I was like, oh, the wife is in on the tea, and she has secret meetings with Stark.
That is not the tea I thought you were going to go after. I thought the tea that you were going to go after was, ooh, I this book broke me, because I wanted to love Killian so bad. But the fact that he was the one that got her mom killed, it specifically reminded me of the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie where, what's his face? Not Drax. Chris Pratt.
Not Drax.
It's Chris Pratt's character, who I do not like. Star-Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know his real name. But whenever in that movie, his dad was like, it broke my heart to put that tumor in her head. And he's like, what? That was me.
Yeah.
Whenever Killian was like, I had to kill her. I'm like,
yeah.
I beg your finest pardon.
I forgot about that. Ugh.
He kept breaking my heart.
No. Honestly, I hated him too much. So honestly, everything that he decided to do did not surprise me. Because I was like, I knew you were the motherfucking bad guy. I couldn't trust you with my life.
It's just that Sable Sorensen just.
Okay, here's the thing though. Okay, maybe this was the question that I thought of. Did it explain how or if he knew that she was like the heir?
Yes, because I remember vividly, because I was like, maybe there's like a crumb of that he like actually loved her. I wish I had the physical book in front of me, but he at one point, like, she asked, like, at what point did you know or something, or like, did you ever truly love me? And he knew from the very beginning, like from the first moment that they met in the village, he knew. And he just kept tabs on her the whole entire time.
But how? Because he just felt it? Because she didn't have the necklace at that point. And remember, that's the only thing that they take.
I can't recall what he says, but I know that he explains it, because that also broke my heart. Because I was like,
I'm gonna have to go back and
none of it
that.
Was real.
I think that was one of the questions I had, that I was like, I think I missed that part.
No, I don't think I wrote it down, but I remember him saying that he knew the entire time. And I'm like, just pour salt in the wound. Also, whenever everything was going down, why did the professors do nothing? And they just sat there?
Dead ass. I don't know.
And like, when an adult, like to adult in the building.
But do any of them know? I mean, well, if he's brainwashed or like completely rewrote history, they probably don't even know. It sounds like Anasa and Stark are the only two that had any idea that there was this whole other life and storyline.
Not even like necessarily like, oh, why aren't they helping Meryn? But just like, if one of your students went rogue, killed your leader, and is next to your crown prince. Like, they didn't Killian called for the guards to arrest her. Mm-hmm. But, like, why didn't even the professors do anything?
Probably because they wanted him dead.
Well, the king, yes. Killian was kind of set up to be a decent guy.
He was. He was a secret set up, even though he's not. But, I mean, I feel like they probably didn't react. It sounds like she reacted pretty quickly. And if we think about it, Stark's line knows what she is, so they're not going to defend him or react like they technically should, since that's technically their area's job. And then the rest of them probably were like, what the fuck is going on? And then they're also probably like, we hate this guy anyways. On to the next one. Dallas says...
You know how, like, for some educational TV shows, it's like... As they're talking and describing things, it's at the bottom, like, fun fact, did you know, blah, blah. It's like, and Dallas says.
Our viewer, like, Dallas, just wrote in. Dallas loves the Goodish Girls, 98, wants it to be known. she wants it to be known that she was right, that Stark did know about Killian and Meryn from the beginning. She says she clocked. But I also called that Stark is definitely going to be her mate because he's a Dark Shadow daddy. And also, he's got to be the love of her life because he's the only one who truly understands her and will protect her, in my opinion, since he knows all the secrets and the lore.
I'm just sad.
I do wish every once in a while that there were some more books like Lightlark where you get to, like, enjoy both of them for a bit. And then you're kind of like, oh, but who do I love more? Who would I really choose in life?
And I was kind of hoping that we would get that situation, especially after they said the fact that just because your wolf has a mate does not mean that, like, those two Robons have to get together.
Well, now that makes me nervous, though. I know they, like, really mentioned that. So now it makes me nervous that they're going to get together.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're not going to end up together.
I
maybe
think we'll
theory
end up together.
For book two is something's going to happen. Either she's going to be so defiant like she is where I can't stand her and he just gives up on her. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Unless there's some other secret pairing that we don't know about.
I feel like, if anything, it could be like an Iron Flame situation where Violet is just like, why won't you tell me the truth? And Zayden's like, you're not asking the right questions. Like, I could see another one of those happening.
Which we kind of had that already.
But he, like, literally couldn't say.
Yeah, that's fair.
That wasn't his fault.
He was like, you can read a book.
Have you tried reading? Can you read?
Have you looked at this book?
It's not the original note that I was going to, but I forgot I made a joke. In chapter 40, whenever Meryn and Stark are riding to the front, Meryn says, I lean into Anasa and flakes start falling on my face. And in my head, I said, dandruff. And she's like, no. I'm like, ah.
Oh my god.
See, silly things like that play in my head all the time. Especially the more tired I get, I'm just like, silly joke. That I know is not real. I also kind of, I figured Meryn was going to be either the goddess or a relative of the goddess. Mm-hmm. Because Sayla says that Meryn does the best voice for the goddess. And then there's a weird Mom and Asa connection. And then the Opal Stone. And then I was like, the crown's going to be in the fighting ring. She just hasn't picked it up for whatever reason.
I think when it actually clicked in my brain, because I read for vibes, was definitely the Opal Stone and Stark being like, why are you wearing that? Or being like, how dare you wear that out here? And I was like, sir, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Also, speaking of Stark, the next chapter, whenever he noticed, like, the markings on her,
mm-hmm.
and he asked if Killian tortured her.
Yes.
And I was like, at the time, I was like, keep my wife's name out your freaking mouth.
No, in my mind, I was like, touch her and die. Who did this to you? Who did this to you?
I mean, he said who did this to you, and I get it. But the fact that he, like, immediately was like, looking back on it, now that I know he knows all the things, like, yeah, that's valid. But in the moment, whenever I was like, die hard Killian girly, I'm like, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
No,
my baby boy Killian would never.
I almost sent you guys a voice note because I remember that moment when I was laying in bed listening to it, and he was like, who did this to you? And I was like, go get him, fuck him up. I really thought we were gonna get that moment, and then we didn't, and it was sad.
I mean, there we got another book to go.
I know,
it could happen.
I know, but all their little moments, I loved how it was written. Like, I love small moments that are, like, the push and pull, like, love to hate
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. I love shit like that. I eat it up. Write a book, and that's all you have to write. And I'm like, this book is good soup. I'll read this book all goddamn day.
I just also hated, like, I loved it in the moment, but I hated that Sable Sorensen gave us so many good, spicy scenes with Meryn and Killian. Because I feel like... Like, even with ACOTAR, like, you know Tamlin's not the good guy and that he's flawed by the second book. But even, like,
unless
in book
you're
one.
Dallas.
Huh?
I said, unless you're Dallas.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. Whenever I read ACOTAR, I was like, I know I'm supposed to hate this kid, but, like, he's kind of, like, I wasn't head over heels for Tamlin, but I was like, he's kind of all right.
Yeah, I was okay with him. I didn't know to the full extent.
I did because TikTok.
Yeah, I didn't know that yet, though. I wasn't caught up. But I also like a tall, dark man. Yeah. So as soon as Rhysand showed up, it was like, it's gone. You should be with him instead. I was like, how are you going to get him?
But yeah, because like even with Tamlin, we didn't really get many spicy scenes with him. Oh. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not
they
that attached
good.
Then. No,
I didn't like them.
And the fact that he never, this is the part that irked me, because this was whenever I was, like, really down bad, like, going to the ER every other week whenever Feyre would be sick. And he'd be passed out in bed. I'm like,
yep.
Go check on her.
Sir? Yeah, he was doing things on the side that you were like, you're such a piece of trash.
Mm-hmm. But actually, then you got Killian, who was doing all the things.
He was. But that's because he's a snake. He's a silly little sneaky snake.
I'm a snack.
I will say, though, with me not liking him, some of the scenes gave me the ick.
I mean, that's valid if you don't like him.
Yes, and I think it was because I just really didn't like him anyways, or I didn't trust him. So then it would really get going into it, and I'd be like, I literally can't even enjoy this. I just have the ick, and I wanted to skip through some of them. They are well-written smut scenes, okay? Don't get me wrong. It's not like when you want to skip because you're like, oh.
Yeah.
This is bad. I'm uncomfy. Mm-hmm. What is this? Or it's like all the cliches and you're like, ugh.
Or just like all the ick words.
Ugh. Yeah. But no, they were well-written. I just already hated that man, so.
Yeah, because it was even... After the reveal in chapter 57, it was a fake spicy time with Killian, and Meryn puts the knife to his throat, and he says, kinky, and I was like, Killian, stop making me hot and bothered when you're the bad guy. I was like, don't get on my level. Don't be Josh.
No. Nobody can be Josh but Josh. Gosh, rereading that book, I forgot a lot about that book. I do love him, though.
I quote that book all the time.
It's a good book.
I've reread it 3 times.
Have you listened to it yet?
All 3 times.
Okay. Well, I was like, have you listened to it? I know you only like dual narration. So I was about to be like, it's dually narrated and it's really good. It's really good. Theories for book two. Do you have any?
I think I came up with one. I was just so wrecked by the betrayal. I was just like, I'm going to go sit in a corner and think about all the things. And
yeah,
no one talked to me.
Yeah. I don't have any like real solid theories except for the fact that you've convinced me now to create a theory that maybe Stark and her have a fallout moment and they don't end up as mates, even though their wolves are mated.
Or I just don't know who would be the other person.
Or what if she has a different mate but doesn't end up with them? And her wolf, and she still stays with Stark, but Stark isn't her mate, and Anasa and his wolf are mated. Now I'm getting crazy.
But that's okay, because they literally said that, like, whoever your wolf's bonded is, whoever your wolf's mate is, and that bonded don't have to be together.
Right.
So there's an opening, because that's why I thought, I was like, oh, we're going to have a, maybe a Y2 situation.
But I'm saying her and Stark still stay together
because
they're like trauma bonded, let's say, at this point.
Okay.
But they're not like mate bonded. Okay.
Yes.
But then we find out she has a bond with somebody else as her mate. But she doesn't end up with him.
Can bonded?
And who would it be?
Get bonds?
What?
Because the way that you're describing it, in a bonded tree, you have
Anasa and Kratos.
Anasa and Kratos, and then Anasa's child is Meryn, and Kratos' child is Stark.
Yeah.
Are you
but they're
saying
not bonded. They're not mate. Yeah, they're not a mate
but
bond.
Are you saying if mom and dad are bonded, but kids are not bonded, but kid can bond with another? I keep on wanting to say writer, but they're not a writer.
Right.
Another
Rabond.
Yes. Is that like a thing that people are mates in this book?
That's what they said. That's what you're literally saying, though, is you don't have to be mates if you're.
No, they said that you don't have to be. I don't think that they ever said that people have to be mates. But they just said, like, if you're whoever your wolf's mate is, you do not have to be with that person. It just helps your wolf to find their mate because it makes your bond and your power stronger.
So they're
stronger.
Not like, I gotcha. So mates aren't
but
really
it is
a
fantasies.
Thing for the peoples.
So they could actually have bonds, but I don't know. The way it's like worded, I'm like
suspicious. Well, then maybe none of this matters. And I just came up with something that.
Hey, but it's a fun idea. And I give you an A for effort.
Thanks.
Because she doesn't have to be with Stark.
This is why I read for vibes. I don't make the theories. And I don't do the lore. Because I forget the history. Dallas loves the Goodish Girls 98 said, Killian's head will roll. Literally. Like she will cut off his head and it will roll around. That is her theory for book two. Considering this is going to be a trilogy, I don't think he's going to lose his head till book three, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who's the big bad guy by book three if he's dead? Oh my God, we got to put up with him for another two books.
I was going to go way out there and do the biggest stretch in the world. And I was going to say, what if like she does kill Killian? And then because he turns Sayla, like what if Sayla becomes the next number one, like big villain? That'd
well,
be wild.
Because he is possessed-ish, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if she kills Killian, one, does that break her blood jewel thing that she has with him? And two, does that guy transfer to somebody else?
Ooh, because in Throne of Glass, the Vol can transfer. I could see that.
What
I could see her killing happen? Killian, but not.
And they think he's gone, but dun, dun, dun.
I'm back.
He watches from Sayla's eyes, acting like he's Sayla. Bum, bum, bum.
You heard it here first. Like that, poof, Lola's gone. Wrong.
Lola's right.
What a crazy episode.
But it's fine. We were just straight up vibing.
We are. This book will do that to you, you know?
Yes.
I don't know what else to expect.
Thank you, Dallas Loves Goodish Girls 89, for your comments. For your participation. We love a devoted fan.
Yeah, we'd love to hear out, like, from more of you guys, you know? So, like, send in questions, send in your thoughts.
Maybe you can end up on the main screen.
Oh my gosh, she's gonna kill us. Anyways,
what you get for having broken internet? Just do the wire outside the window. That's all you need.
Thanks for listening.
At the radio stations and just call in. You're on the air.
The dial.
Okay, I'm done.
You're on the air with the Goodish Girls in the morning.
I'm done. I'll stop talking.
Thank you so much for listening to our second series of the Goodish Book Club. We'll be coming at you with some more soon. Also, tune in this month for a mini episode for Madison and Dallas from Game On, which we talked a lot about that series as well. So,
and that's a safe on demand.
Like, share, subscribe, comment. Maybe let us know what book you want us to read next, and maybe we can book club it. We have lots of fun things scheduled for later in the year as well, so we will get back to our deep dives at some point. But for now, we're just having fun, vibing, and living life with all the brand new releases. So thanks for listening. Again, this was the Goodish Girls, the Goodish Book Club. I'm Cass.
And I'm Madison. And Dallas Loves Goodish Girls 89 was here in spirit.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.